Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So you consider yourself to be a indigenous woman?
Yeah, Afro-Indigenous.
Afro-Indigenous. Yes. Can you explain to me specifically
what that means to me?
Right. What it means to you or just what it means?
Yeah, I think for a long time, I wasn't really sure how to describe myself. You know, there wasn't a box for me to check that really fit my identity. You know, my mother is Native American. She's also white. She's also Irish. Mm. She comes from both the Menominee and Oneida Nations of Wisconsin. So my grandmother is an enrolled member of the Oneida Nation of Wisconsin. Mm. But my father, he comes from Mobile, Alabama, which is the historic Africa town. So that's where my family came from, was raised. So just that understanding that I have both of those identities, although I am Irish, right? With that, I don't acknowledge it, not because I don't know, I'm not proud to be Irish, but my biological grandfather abandoned my grandmother when she was pregnant. So we don't know my biological grandfather, don't know that white side. So these are the identities that raised me. These are the understandings I have. And so I felt, you know, kind of liberated when I came to that self-identification of who Sutton is.
Mm. What was the tribe you said your mother came from? The Menominee?
Yeah, the Menominee.
The Menominee.
Yeah, so they're ancestral to Wisconsin. Mm. My grandfathers were chiefs of the Menominee tribe. So if anyone's ever been to Wisconsin, Oshkosh, Wisconsin, is named after my grandfather. Great, great, great. Seven-time grandfather. So that was Chief Oshkosh, the Brave.
Oshkosh be gosh.
Yeah, that's what everyone says. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know if that's us though.
I'm not gonna lie. First, I thought you said the monogamy tribe.
Oh, monogamy. Well, I know they got, you know, tribes and communities around monogamy and not monogamy, but we the Menominee.
I thought that's how they got spread in the Western. Some people came from monogamy tribe. Some people came from polygamy tribe. I don't know.
Well, this is true, but no, the Menominee ancestral to Wisconsin. We have been there for over 10,000 years. Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting about my grandfather is he really walked in these two worlds, right?
Yeah.
And so with westward expansion happening, they actually wanted to forcibly remove us north to lands we would not be able to survive on between two warring tribes. And he understood that. And so it's interesting because at this time, we didn't have this concept of land ownership, right? We're stewards of the land. So he had to really learn this Western way of land ownership and capitalism. And through that, he was a actually able to barter over 10 million acres so that we remain on over 235,000 acres today. We have one of the most dense timber forests in the Midwest. I mean, you can see our forests from literally, you know, the stars.
So what was the concept? Because when I did get to visit the Shinnecock Nation and I was speaking with the brother and he was explaining to me how, you know, he describes his dwelling. Right. Mm-hmm. Not a home that he owns, but a place that he lives.
Okay.
Right. And I believe like that difference in concepts just of thought of the idea of ownership Mm-hmm. Right. And he said that he was explaining to, I think, an IRS agent that wasn't familiar with why he didn't have to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. And she had basically came to his door, I believe. And he was like, well, the way he explained it was interesting because he was like, the sun, you know, rises and the sun sets. He said something about birds fly. There's stars in the sky and there are trees that we pluck fruit from. And he was like, that's why.
So we take care of this land. When we think about the world's biodiversity, right? 80% of it is stewarded by indigenous peoples, right? We know how to take care of the land. We are in relation with the land, right? So when I think about what's happening with like climate change and climate change mitigation, we're spending so much money to like funnel into like innovative technology. Not to say innovative technology is bad, but I think if we took that money and put it behind indigenous peoples who have had a long relationship with the land, know how to take care of her, we would be in a much better place.
Well, I think that's it's a interesting conversation there, right? You know, I watched this show, Yellowstone, right? Mm-hmm. I like that show actually, but it shows this battle of the land, right? And this basically the show premise is this white family that now owns the Yellowstone land, and it was taken from the Native American people. And of course they're mad because they remember when it was their land.
Right.
And his family has had it for 100 years. So they've been fighting, killing, going to war to make sure that they maintain the land under their family. Yeah. Right. But it really reminds you of the presence of America, that while we may think of things as a history of hundreds of years ago, right? Yeah. When you go visit the Shinnecock Nation or any of the nations of the Native American people, it's a reality for them now,
absolutely.
Right? Like I'm a living person, essentially displaced in my own home, right? Mm-hmm. Given rights, and we have treaties and we have these things, but it's a history lesson for you. Mm-hmm. And it's present day war for me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this country is not that old, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when we think about this democracy and we think about where it stemmed from, many could largely argue that it was taken from the Iroquois Confederacy, right? So I'm also Oneida. And so the Oneidas come from the Iroquois Confederacy, also known as the Haudenosaunee, right? And what that was six bands of tribes that came together during Western expansion in New York and in the North, right? Who had a lot of intertribal warfare, right? But understood that they had to come together, stop fighting. It was the Great Law of Peace, we call it. And in that, they were able to create this confederacy, this democracy, right? And this, you know, understanding that decisions that were being made had to come to a consensus, right? Mm. And then we also had our clan mothers. Right. Our clan mothers. Right. And the clan mothers, which is interesting. So each tribe had a chief, right, who was on this council of the Iroquois Confederacy. Right. And the clan mothers, their unique role is they got to appoint the chiefs. They also could call down the chiefs or replace the chiefs at any time if they were not being in alignment with what was agreed upon, right? So we really saw this balance of masculine and femininity, right? The chiefs lead, but the clan mothers decide who is going to lead and ensure that that chief is doing what he's supposed to be doing to be in kinship with the community, right? But when we look at history, Benjamin Franklin sat with the chiefs of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. Mm-hmm. When we think about the U.S. Constitution and how similar it is to the Iroquois Confederacy, the only imbalance that we have is that they removed the clan mothers, and that's what you see today. But I say all that to say the United States is not that old.
Yeah.
We predate, you know, these laws and these ways. We have our own protocols.
Yeah, no, the United States is definitely new. But it's built off, you know, indigenous science. Right?
Yeah.
The flag of America, the tribes,
the
states.
Look at the dollar. We the people. That's what indigenous, we call ourselves we the people.
The teams.
We the people.
Of America.
The mascots, I mean.
There's so much about America that we don't realize, you know, that come from Native American origins.
Oh, my gosh. Look at so many of the names of states and cities. Mm-hmm. You know, once you get to really understand, you know, indigenous ways and being and even just the cultural understanding from some of the tribes you might, you know, see in different states, then you get to see like, oh, like, for example, you know, in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, like, that's very much so an indigenous name, you know. But I think because of all the erasure we've experienced, right, through the genocide, through boarding schools. You know, today I shared, you know, my third grandfather, Chief Reginald Oshkosh, the second Chief Oshkosh, was the first to go to a boarding school. He was sent to Carlisle Indian Boarding School out in Pennsylvania, where that mantra is kill the Indian, save the man, you know? And so right now, right, so many people are reclaiming what it means to be Indigenous. And I think there's a lot of, you know, advocacy to revitalize Indigenous knowledge. And so people are starting to talk about it more, or starting to understand like, oh yeah, that name, that definitely came from a tribe, or, you know, some of these customs or some of these things that I see, whether it's the flag or whether it's the dollar bill, you know, that eagle is sacred to us.
And I think there's the real lost connection of in history in America. I think our perception of the past, you know, is European. Right. And it has been whitewashed to an effect that we don't really appreciate our beginnings here in America. Right. Because, you know, there's the old conversation of our ancestors, you know, they had the conversation, are we black or are we African American?
Right. They rename us every 20 years.
Yeah. And, you know, some people, they swear they would never be called African American, right? Because they believe that it didn't really speak to the infinity of their soul and who they were. And then, you know,
Native
you look
American,
at. Yeah, Native. But look at Ghana. Look at Nigeria. America, we've been in America longer than those have been established names for those countries, right? So if a one can call themselves Ghanaian or one can call themselves Nigerian, then I don't think that you have the power to strip black people away from being Americans, number one, because the America itself is an operation, right? That was, you know, innovated by us.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Partially, right? And worked by us, right? Built off of us, our ideas. There's so much that was stolen that we don't even know that if we were given credit for, we would appreciate.
That's right.
Right? So when I step on the soil of America, I think of it as my land.
Course.
Right. And to that simple effect, it makes you feel like I'm at home. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I step out of America. And I say that because if when I go to Africa, I have to learn the culture of Africa.
Right.
And the culture of Africa is separated by tribes as well.
That's right.
There's tens of thousands of them. So for me to just say African, that's like me saying I take on every aspect of all tribes, but with ignorance because I don't know none.
Well, it's because we're not a monolith, right?
Which we should be.
Well,
monoliths are powerful.
Well, I think in some ways, yes. But I think when I, in consideration to indigenous peoples of the Americas, Turtle mm-hmm. Island, right? We don't want to be seen as a monolith because we have so many different cultures and cosmologies mm-hmm. and protocols and ways that are true to this tribe, right? Are there similarities that we all share? Absolutely. There are so many different principles and protocols that we all can be in deep alignment and agreement with. But each tribe you go to, it's going to be a very different experience to the foods we eat, to the gods we pray to the traditions we carry, to our ceremonial practices. Right. You know, and so I think, yes, I think to break down silos, yes, very powerful, you know, but to be a monolith, I think is being complicit with erasure.
I think a monolith in an idea of there has to be a level of oneness that unites us all.
Yeah, I agree.
Because there's the individual. Mm-hmm. And what the individual likes, right?
Yeah.
You can have your values, your customs. What is your taste level? What are your traits? What is customized to you? Mm-hmm. In the world now, we find our tribes, right? Mm-hmm. People that we like, people that like the same things, mm-hmm. people that have the same perspective, judge things, feel things, see things the way we see them.
Yeah.
That's my tribe.
Yeah.
Right. Even in places where people are under what we see them as monoliths, right? Mm-hmm. They still have their tribes in that, right?
Absolutely.
I think we think of it as like a separating factor, but it's not. A tribalism, I think, is natural, right? In the sense that you find peace in people who are like you.
Yeah, as humans and having a human experience, we don't want to be isolated.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a setting in which we thrive, right? It's the interconnectedness that helps us really be in our power, in our health, in our wellness, right? And that is kinship, right? It's one, the interconnectedness of all things, not just people, right? It's the inanimate and animate, right? It's the plant medicines, the four-legged, the winged, the two-legged, right? But yeah, I think, you know, and I think even with plant medicine, people feel kinship for the first time, right? Mm. They feel that oneness, and they also feel that connection to everything around them, especially people. And I think, yeah, community is so important. Kinship is so important. Your tribe is so important, mm-hmm. right? But I agree. I think, yeah, we are so much stronger together than we are in silos.
And that plant medicine, I think that's where things become so much, like you said, it becomes so much more of a one because you realize you basically strip down all of the things that you put on. Mm-hmm. And in that, you're not speaking from an egoistic standpoint.
Yeah.
It's like a soul meeting another soul.
That's right.
Now you can have a conversation with that soul, like, you know, how I see how you dress your avatar up.
That's right.
You know, what system of belief have you chosen on this realm?
The 3D.
Right. But you're doing it from a different state of awareness.
That's right.
But because, you know, I wear the color red, you wear the color orange. Now I'm a red man and you're an orange man. Cool. Now we're saying, hey, we're different people. And it's like, we've chosen this.
Oh my gosh.
Because it flows with our soul and our spirit for one reason or another.
Yeah, I agree. I think there are so many different assumptions and biases that we operate mm-hmm. based on how we've been conditioned, right? What society has told us, what is right, what is wrong, who we should be and kin with, who we shouldn't be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think plant medicine helps you, like you said, remind yourself that you are a soul, right? Mm-hmm. In this physical body.
Yeah.
But what's more important is being able to connect with those around you to be able to delve in deeper, to be able to reach this higher consciousness, right? And that's the key to self-actualization, which is built on the foundation of community actualization.
So, because you mentioned plant medicine a couple times.
I did.
So,
I love plant medicine.
So, what is your selection of plant medicine that you intake and go on your journeys with?
Yeah, mushrooms are so special to me. I was introduced to mushrooms when I was about 20 years old after surviving horrendous gender-based violence.
Gender-based violence?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm a survivor of trafficking.
Okay.
And that experience humbled me to my core and broke me like nothing else in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know how to pick myself back up. At that time, I was getting a degree in psychology when that happened to me, which is why I also say that these things can happen to any women. You know, sometimes you don't recognize the signs or, you know, how you're being groomed. And so in that experience, you know, I was saved, and I'm so thankful that I was saved out of that situation. But again, I came back into my degree after that. And I was doing the typical cognitive behavioral therapy, you know, I was going to ceremony, more so like powwow, just being with my community. But I was still hitting this like brick wall, right? And I remember this assignment that I had, which was a genogram assignment, right? This pictorial display of your family tree. And you have to annotate the different adversities they've been through, whether it's their health or, you know, their emotional health, right? Whether they had an abortion or they were murdered or they, you know, experienced rape. So I had to go through all of these generations, ask really difficult questions. And I remember sitting on the floor with this big piece of paper and seeing these cycles perpetuate from contact with settler colonization and boarding school. And then I saw me, right, and all of the things I had experienced, and understanding that, you know, a lot of these traumas didn't begin with me, but I embody them and I can perpetuate them, you know, unconsciously, and not wanting to be there anymore, not wanting to be a victim, wanting to be a survivor, wanting to be a warrior. And so one of my good friends, you know, I was a researcher beginning my research at the time. I'm still a researcher, but beginning my research in acculturation and how that affects mental health and academic performance. And so he knew that the key to me wanting to do something would be through research. And so he shared to me all of the different, you know, just research studies that they'd done around psilocybin. And he showed me all of the propaganda that the government had tried to use to disconnect our cultures from these plant medicines, because mushrooms aren't a medicine that come from my communities, being Menominee and Oneida. But there are different plant medicines that, you know, my communities have sat with,
like
peyote being one. Yeah. The Native American church influenced so many different tribes and shared those traditions everywhere, right?
The Native American church, you said, influenced those traditions?
Yeah, but they passed them on, right? Well, not the Native American church, but indigenous peoples, right, who had sat with that medicine for time immemorial. Then they had to form the Native American church because of the propaganda within the United States. But then
how does the Native American church fit within the structure of influence of like decision making within indigenous peoples?
They are their own entity. They have exemption through the American Indian Religious Freedom Act to be able to sit with peyote because it is illegal in this country. And so if you want to sit with peyote legally, you have to be a member of the Native American church. And so there is a Native American church in Wisconsin, and they were able to share those practices with the Menominee and other tribes, right? My auntie has told me stories about, you know, her grandfather, you know, having the bundle and not passing it down, right? And that is largely because of settler colonization, boarding school, where we were literally told to cut our hair, not speak our language, beaten if we spoke our language, and the regalia was taken, and, you know, these shirts and pants were put on us, right? But yeah, so, you know, going back to just this mushroom experience, for me, it was the first time I really could feel the historical and intergenerational trauma flowing through my blood. But I also felt like the strength and resilience of my ancestors being both Black and Native, right? And just understanding the power that I truly had within myself to be able to be the first in my family to say, no more. You know, this ends with me, right? And we're going to create a new pathway for our future seven generations. And that principle right there, the seven generations, comes from the Haudenosaunee, right? The seven generation principle is this understanding that we have a responsibility to make every decision within sustainability, understanding that it will have a ripple effect to the seven generations. So then every time we're thinking about a decision, you know, while we're being strategic in this world, like, how are we considering, you know, the youth, right? How are we considering the ancestors who came before us, right?
I like that. I like that.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.